Every show has a theme. Today's theme is positive communicating through positive thinking. And my next guest takes communicating very seriously. In fact, she's made a living out of it. Sandra Shelton may be, just maybe, the most original thinker you may want to hear. She is a speaker, an author, and a consultant. She's the CEO of Strength Bank. That's a communications consultancy. She actively blogs and comments on current events as they are communicated through the media. Welcome to the show, Sandra. How are you today? Sandra, are you there? Hello.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, good. Now, you're talking to us from the beautiful state of Texas. Is that right?
Hot Texas.
Hot.
Fort Worth. Yes, sir.
Fort Worth. Hot and humid. Well, you'll be sad to hear that it's 72 degrees, a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of fog at this time of the day here, right on the coast in Ventura County.
I know, that's just not fair, but hey, life isn't fair, right?
No, life is never fair. That is true. And the reason that I'm having you on the show today is because you've taken a very, very critical stand of the author that went out there and leaked about the Afghan war on WikiLeaks, which is a blog site that's out there. And, you know, you are saying that that was probably wrong, possibly illegal, definitely immoral. And that's very interesting because, you know, we're running into First Amendment rights when we start talking about freedom of speech and all of that. So my first question for you is this. Where do a citizen's rights to know and just for the sake of the greater good? And who determines the greater good?
Well, the rights of a citizen and a citizen who's a journalist or who isn't, it doesn't matter, insofar as it does not cross a moral line from good to bad. And it ends where harm begins. That's how you know where. When it is going to harm someone else, it's sort of like freedom. We have freedom to do anything we want to, as long as that freedom doesn't end up harming someone else. So that's the short definition.
All right. Now, for our listeners, Sandra, who may not be familiar, give us a breakdown of WikiLeaks, why you're so adamantly against them. What did they leak? Why is that bad? And in your words, where does the harm begin with what they leaked?
Well, and I look at it from a perspective of the people I'm in front of all the time in corporate America, but I also look at it from the perspective of high school teens, because I mentor them a lot. So just that's kind of the overview I'm getting here. It's not that technically he didn't have the right, okay? It really isn't about right. It's about what is right. And you say, and you had asked earlier, who determines the greater good, what the greater good is? We are born with the core of our being. It comes with us, a sense of moral integrity. Now, it goes different places. You can kill it or, you know, use it to not good things. But it's pretty clear that harming someone, putting someone in harm's way by ill thought releasing, and I say ill thought because I think in this case WikiLeaks was used. They were a tool. But somewhere along the line, somebody made the choice, an individual who, again, has that same moral fiber, made a choice, an ill-advised choice, to pass information on. Now, to seduce, to get the scoop, you know, is kind of where we go to, oh my gosh, this is really great, I got to get this out, I'm going to be famous. And that's where you decide, wait a minute, where's the line? Where's the line that, yeah, I can do this, but here's the other question. Should I do this? Is this the right thing to do? So I think in WikiLeaks' stance, Julian Assange, I guess is the way you pronounce
it. Assange, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He, when he got the information, now he may not have sought it, he may not have solicited, I have no idea. But when he got that information, he had a choice. We all have that same choice.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be the right thing to do? Now, what he could do with that choice is up to him. But we have to say, okay, wait a minute. We are participants in this world too. And there's a point where we need to say, whoa, wait a minute. If that has put somebody in harm's way and he's made comments about, you know, he's sorry if it did, well, it's kind of too late at this point, isn't it?
Well, this is interesting. We're talking to Sandra Shelton, everybody, and she's an expert on communications. We're talking specifically about Julian Assange and his leak in his blog, WikiLeaks, about the Afghan situation. But, Sandra, my question to you is this. This is the classic whistleblower scenario, because whenever there's a whistleblower, there's going to be somebody who's hurt, and there's going to be, well, actually, both sides could be hurt when there's a whistleblower conundrum like we have here. So let's put ourselves in Julian's shoes for just a minute. He gets this information, all right, and he has a choice to make. Does he become the whistleblower and release information about Afghan and Afghan war plans, or does he keep this quiet and keep it to himself? In his mind, he made a moral decision about that, and like you said, where does the harm come in? Well, the harm comes, or the when does it end? It's when the harm begins. So tell me, put yourself in his shoes. What would your thinking process be, and why would it be different than Julian's?
Well, first of all, you've made a statement. He made a moral decision. I'm not sure he did, and that's where we need to start.
Okay.
Was it a moral decision? In other words, whistleblower, and I agree with you, some good things have come from whistleblowers, and I absolutely agree. However, it depends on the motives of the heart. I don't know what his motives are. I can only judge by the behavior. So I'm saying, was it a morally good decision to release names of people that have supported any group. In fact, in this case, it was America, but he could have been, he could have been a whistleblower for somebody that was cooperating with Russia or China. I mean, this just happens to be America, and so it gets us because we're Americans. You know, these people were aiding not only name, but village address. Now, you got to think, whoa. And I go back to his bio. I looked on Wikipedia because I was just, who is this guy? And it was interesting to me that here is somebody who's willing to leak that private information, not only just the information, but that, you know, it puts them into harm's way. And actually, as I was reading earlier, there's actually already been an execution as a result of this that was reported from the UK as well. But my point being, is it a moral decision? If he would not, in his bio, even release his birth year for a long time. Okay, now wait a minute. Whoa. Now we're back. Wait a minute. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You know, if you yourself want to protect yourself, why in the world would you make a morally good decision? I think it's an amoral decision, and Secretary Gates, I think, would agree with me from the article that was also posted where he called it morally guilty. Well, that's kind of got me going. Yeah. I mean, wait a minute. I myself don't want my information out there. But now I'm seeing people, you know, licking their lips. So, you know, maybe, and this isn't new. I looked back at some other, quote, things from WikiLeaks. This is the intent, to leak things to get aroused. Well, he finally made it. Hmm. And he's going through, you know, London, being supported by his supporters on this media tour.
We're talking to Sandra Shelton, everybody, and she is a communications expert. We're specifically talking about WikiLeaks and the Afghan situation where they released information about our policies, our war in Afghanistan right now. And you bring up an interesting point, Sandra, in your discussion there about a scoop, what makes a scoop important, and the self-control that editors of any medium have to exercise and validate before they actually run a scoop. So tell me, where did that break down in your estimation? Where did the allure of having the scoop become greater than the need to fact check and to validate and vet the information?
Well, you know, I don't really know. But from looking at other leaks, WikiLeaks has been a part of, and even the website WikiLeaks, think about that a minute. Right from the beginning, that says the motives of the heart. And I talk about leadership a lot, and leadership is about motives of the heart. You know, if getting the scoop, regardless of consequences, it becomes relationally bankrupt. So I'm going to say to you, you said, where do you think that allure became so great? I think when he made the decision to title a website, and before that, to have a website, so that it was a very easy conduit. He's made himself a very easy conduit for this kind of thing. And this isn't the first time. This is his modus operandi. This is the way he works. And he can certainly choose to do that. I'm just saying, if you look at the consequences of this on the worldwide stage, there's a place where we have to say, whoa, wait a minute. Do we want to receive it? And then that gets into a whole other issue of what should we do with this now?
And it does. And we want to explore those issues, Sandra. But you said something at the outset that was very intriguing and something that I had not read in the background material. When you were setting this up and describing WikiLeaks, talking about Julian's whole modus operandi of leaking information, you claimed that you think WikiLeaks was a tool. You don't think that Julian Assange was actually the one who was generating this information, or at least he was being manipulated. What makes you think that?
Well, just the fact that he set up the website. I mean, he, I believe, had some trouble with the law about computer hacking, so that's probably where the idea generated, like, maybe I don't do it, but if I set up a website to do it, I will just draw in those who want to join me in this nefarious game, what I call a nefarious game. I don't think that, I'm assuming he might have thought of it himself, and knowing his computer hacking skills, he might have gone out and done it himself. I don't think I've read anything that necessarily proves that one way or the other. I know there's an investigation from a soldier, an American soldier, who had reportedly leaked other sensitive information and may have been a part of that, but that's all still, you know, yet to be proven. I don't really know.
All right.
I don't really know.
We're talking to Sandra Shelton, everybody. She is a communications expert. She's also the CEO of Strength Bank. It's a communications consultancy. She's got very strong opinions about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, what went on there. We want to come back and explore that in a little bit more detail when we get back after this short break. So stay tuned, everybody.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Today's show has the theme positive communicating through positive thinking. Both of my guests really have strong opinions both about positive thinking and the way in which we communicate it. My guest right now is Sandra Shelton. She's the CEO of Strength Bank. It's a communications consultancy. And we're discussing WikiLeaks and its editor, Julian Assange, who actually leaked some information about Afghanistan and the war that we are conducting in Afghanistan. Before we went away to the break, Sandra, we were talking about your comments that WikiLeaks was actually a tool and so forth. But I want to throw it out to you that WikiLeaks, you know, on the internet is just another website. You have WikiLeaks, certainly. You've got the New York Times, but you've also got Al Jazeera. You've got Pravda. Each one of those sites has its own point of view. Each one of its sites breaks news, breaks information, and lets it out there. So, I mean, my contention is first right amendments. This guy, Julian, has got the right to say whatever he wants. And then, to a certain degree, it's up to us to filter that information. But he is within his rights to be able to put up there just about anything that he wants to say underneath the First Amendment. So my question to you is, what makes his site any different than Al Jazeera, Pravda, the Chinese national newspaper, or any of the others that are out there on the Internet?
Motives of his heart. In other words, he's not. If I listen to Al Jazeera or Prada, I know what to expect. I know where they're coming from. They're very clear about that. And they are not going to, they do reveal breaking news. But we do not give away military secrets purposely with an uncensored, which is what you're saying. I mean, first of all, he's not an American. He's an Australian. Mm. So I guess the First Amendment rights apply, but I'm not a legal beagle, so I can't really say that to you. But I'm looking at him as First Amendment human rights. Number one, he is not an authority. He says that he did it for a moral reason, that it appeared to him there was unethical behavior and perhaps even war crimes, which is a nice, you know, soft way. He didn't really say it. He just said maybe. Well, okay, wording. But he's not the authority. That's not what WikiLeaks is about. The motive for WikiLeaks is leak stuff that creates a fervor. I mean, that's not what they say on their website, but I'm just soundbiting it for you. But if I go to Al Jazeera or Prada or anything else, as a matter of fact, I know where they're coming from, and I can choose whether I want to get anything from that. In this case, he goes out, he leaks something that people are dying as a result of, but also it's the principle of, he didn't consider the right thing. I don't know if he got a payoff for it. I don't know. I always think, you know, follow the money trail. Somewhere there was money involved. But I have no way to know that. but he's in business to do something, to leak anything. I mean, if you look back on some of his other leaks, they're just leaks that will create a anger or defame someone or something. In this case, it happens to be what's going on in Afghan. But he's now in an arena where when we go to WikiLeaks, we really don't know what slant to expect. It's just a leak, and it's like, ooh, we can get some good gossip. And there's a part of us that's like, ooh, I want to be in the know. But that's our fault. Now we go to leadership of we, the public. How do we monitor this kind of thing? We're in a world where it's very difficult. But, you know, it's interesting to look when you think of Internet. I look at Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, and I am always impressed that, you know, they're about just communication. They're not taking a stand. They're connecting people. But you know what? When something comes on one of those, they'll take it off. Several times on Twitter, for example, somebody will say they want to link to me, and I look at that picture, and I think, whoa, I'm not sure that's an appropriately clad person. You know, my goodness. And I'll go to report it or just really to look and see if it's what I think it is, and then report it as spam if I feel the need to. But you know what? Twitter's already ahead of me. See, what WikiLeaks has done is they haven't, he said he scanned some things out. Please. And so it was safe. He's not the authority. And evidently, he didn't look too closely because, again, let me point out, he gave one of our informants name, family, and village address.
Right, right. And we're talking.
You're responsible.
We're talking to Sandra Shelton, everybody, and in that, there's so many points that I want to talk about, Sheldon. You are a communications expert, but the two things that I want to glom onto in your last discussion is, number one, you mentioned that when you go to read Pravda or Al Jazeera or any of these other sites, you know what their editorial policy is, and when you look at WikiLeaks, you're not exactly sure what that editorial policy is, but you look at it, and then you filtered it. This is what you said. You filtered it through your own minds. I agree that you were acting as the human filter there. You were sort of filtering it. That has got to be something that everybody who reads, whether you're reading Pravda or whether you're reading WikiLeaks, has got to do. You've got to be cynical. You've got to be critical about what it is that you leak. And just like I don't go to TMZ and look at that as gospel news. That is celebrity gossip. That is celebrity leaks.
Right.
And I view WikiLeaks along the same lines, that is simply news-related or more newsworthy leaks, just the same way that I view TMZ. So my question is, how do you develop that critical thinking? You've obviously developed it, but how do you teach others to develop that more critical thinking?
Well, the critical thinking comes in, first of all, by looking, as you say, at the editorial policy. But here's the biggie. Okay, this is the moment. Here we go. We passed it along before we really knew. See, what's frustrating is really WikiLeaks tells you their editorial policy, just like the others that you mentioned, TMZ, etc., and you choose whether to do it or not. But in this case, when it's something about, you know, the country or the military or, you know, you get politics involved in there, I'm sure, at some point, it's like we pick it up and run with it. And then these articles keep coming out that dispel or confirm after the fact. The damage is done. The man has been killed. The one that I know of.
You're talking about the informant in Afghanistan, right? Was killed, not
right.
Julian Assange.
No. I'm sorry.
Just wanted to be clear on that point.
No. I wouldn't even suggest that. Please, don't put that in my mouth.
All right. I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, thank you. But my point is that after the fact, it's too late. We, and I'm saying we the people, we the media, we the gossips that, ooh, I got to pass this along. That's so easy to do now in the virtual world. Stop. How you develop a critical thinking is ask yourself this question. Before I click and send, because, oh, that's easy. Before I tell my work associate next year, because, oh, is it authenticated? Do I know this to be true? And, you know all those emails you get, chain letter things you get passed around, and all of a sudden it comes up. Snoops.com was out there, and Truth or Fiction, I think, is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And their opinions, but it really is along the right thing. What they do is they're spending their time to say, whoa, is this true? We should do that.
Everybody should be practicing critical thinking.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
And it's unconscionable not to do that because we can get the information real time. We don't have to pass on. We can find, and if you can't find a source, leave it for the moment instead of, oh, did you hear? Well, I wonder if there's any, if it's a rumor or what. The minute you even go that direction, you're spreading it. We helped this man get his 15 minutes of fame and his you know, media tour through London. I'm not for that.
We're talking to Sandra. We're talking to Sandra Sheldon, everybody, CEO of Strength Bank. She is definitely got strong opinions about WikiLeaks, and also you've got an offer for my listeners, don't you, Sandra?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
Yes, I do. If they will email me and we'll set it up, I'll offer a 15-minute coaching call, because that's what I do all the time. Be happy to do that on this issue or a personal issue that may have come up, a leadership issue. And also, they may want to. I mentor teens all the time, high school teens, with a program, and that's why I told you earlier, man, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is training our teens. Well, let's mentor them in the right way. And if you have a local high school you'd like to help me get in touch with and you get involved in that program, we can talk about that too. So it's pretty open-ended.
Well, that's a wonderful, generous offer. How do they get in touch with you by email if they want to talk to you, Sandra?
Sandra@sandrashelton.com.
And spell that out as S-A-N-D-R-A.
At S-A-N-D-R-A-S-H-E-L-T-O-N.com.
Great. Thank you for that offer. Now, back to what you said. I said there were two parts to it. One was the critical thinking side of it. The other is the vetting of the information. In other words, WikiLeaks does not really have an editor or a fact checker,
right,
or somebody who is verifying these things. It is a blog, and as blogs are, you know, they're out there, they're expressing opinions, they're expressing facts. Sometimes the two get mixed up and so forth. When I read something in the New York Times, I have a certain degree of confidence that there are editors that back in New York that have vetted this information. They've done their fact-checking. They've done a little bit of research. And only occasionally do they have to print corrections in that print publication. WikiLeaks has no editor, has no vetting that we know of. And then that information that gets spread out to other news organizations, if they pick it up, even if they pick it up as a rumor, those other news organizations have to vet the information and find the contrary point of view, or at least a different point of view, so that they get some balance in there as well. So in the world of shrinking news media, you're talking about newspapers that are folding all the time, television stations,
right,
radio stations are consolidating all the time. Aren't really the bloggers coming in like Julian Assange and filling a void that the other major media is leaving there, and that void, all he was doing was just filling a need that was in the marketplace?
Ooh, that's a really big question. Okay, first of all, we're into seduction now, the seduction of temptation to be the one that knew. And you're absolutely right. When you read a blog, when you write a blog, I don't take it for gospel unless I can go out and I can find some authentication. That's number one. That's back to critical thinking. Secondly, are they filling a need? Yeah, in a way, because we have a need to be in on it, to be in on it from the beginning, to know it when it first started birthing. But that's not necessarily responsible on our part. It's just part of our old human nature, you know, that we fight all the time. But it's feeding a seduction. It's feeding a temptation. And let me give you an analogy. It's sort of like, I hope I can say this, pornography.
All right. Let's use that.
It's like, is that filling a need? Okay, in my opinion, a need to move to aberrant behavior, yes. But do I want to be the one that feeds that need? No. Do we want to hold people to a higher standard? Yes. So, if you're writing a blog, or in the case of WikiLeaks, you're exactly right. We don't know that any of this has been fact-checked. And again, it came out in blogs, just like you said, and other places before the news articles came. I would hope the news media, you know, check the facts. But if we get a need for just stuff out there and we decide that blogs fill the need and replace good journalism, big mistake.
Well, let me boil that down a little bit more. Let's say here in Ventura, we've got the Ventura County Star. That's our local newspaper. And
right.
It's been consolidating. There's less and less international coverage. And let's say I was really interested in the war in Afghanistan. But unfortunately, the Star is not covering it as much because of cutbacks at the newspaper. So blogs are cropping up to fill that need, and WikiLeaks had information about the war in Afghanistan, which is something of interest to me. So I might have put into Google Afghanistan war and been directed to WikiLeaks at some point. That's the gap, the void that I'm thinking that blogs and WikiLeaks in particular is filling.
Well, print newspapers are going to local because they're trying to survive. Things have changed. So in answer to your question, the need to get the information, are the blogs filling the need to get the information? I'm sorry if I misheard you. The blog, yeah, in a way, they might create curiosity, but used responsibly. The other end is we've got Wall Street Journal. You mentioned New York Times. We've got all these papers that have online tentacles. There's really no problem getting to the information from our print. Maybe it's not in print news media locally, but it's in print someplace. And these days, you know, I mean, I quit taking the paper. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, because I'm on the road a lot, and
right.
It's just so easy to go, okay, get the headlines, see what I want to look at, rather than carry around papers. Now, I have dogs, and I can use the papers later, but, I mean, the point is, I mean, you know, it's just not practical. It's changing. That's why it's good that we're talking about this. It's responsible journalism is now being encroached upon, if you will, by some of the blogs and some of the WikiLeaks kind of people. Well, who's going to solve that? We're going to solve that by what we read and what we pass on. The only way to solve this is responsibility on the part of every American citizen and world citizen, if you will, to not pass on things you can't confirm and verify. That's a leadership responsibility. That's a moral obligation. The only way to stop it in these wild times, really, when there's so much is uncensored, is do what Facebook and Twitter are doing. They go, not on our site, you won't.
In other words,
responding to it.
In other words, censor. Yeah.
Yeah, censor it yourself. We all have that. See, people don't realize we have the power to do that now. The individual at the computer has the power, just like you've always had the power to choose what you read or whatever. But now we have the power. You know, if I write and I write and I blog and I blog and nobody ever comments, that's a message.
We're talking to Sandra Sheldon, everybody. She's the CEO of Strength Bank. And Sandra, you've got an offer for my listeners. I would like you to repeat that. I can't believe we're already out of time. But for those listeners who are interested in what you said, want to take advantage of your consulting offer, how do they get a hold of you?
They can email me at sandra@sandrashelton.com. And the phone number's on the side. I won't give it. sandra@sandrashelton.com. You can go to sandrashelton.com and get other contact information as well. But I would be delighted to spend 15 minutes with you. I'd be delighted to coach you on something. We can talk about this issue more. I learn from feedback, and as iron sharpens iron, we sharpen each other.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you so much for being our guest. You're a lovely guest. I appreciate it. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Great.
All right. Now, coming up after me, we're going to go directly to Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell, because we have no ABC News at the top of the hour. So we'll just go straight to that. And then, believe it or not, that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. Or streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We end this show by saying go out and be the change you want to see in the world.